DW.
Stephen Vitello calls himself a sound artist, a man who spends his life recording things you may not have heard or noticed. He traveled to the Amazon jungle, for example, to record with a tiny tribe called the Yanomami. He also won a grant to record New York City from the World Trade Center before the Twin Towers were destroyed by terrorist attacks.
And then found out you couldn't open the windows and that there was no audible sound from outside unless I really pressed my ear to the glass. And I learned about contact microphones. Once I got the contact mic on the window, suddenly I could hear church bells. And other days I could hear the wind blowing the building. Other days I could hear ships on the Hudson River, car crashes, any number of sounds.
Contact mics or accelerometers detect vibrations from surfaces rather than air.
Think of a stethoscope. If I held a stethoscope up and you spoke, I wouldn't hear anything. If I put it on your body or on my body, we would hear a heartbeat or we would hear blood flow.
More than a decade later, he met someone else who used contact microphones to explore unheard worlds. Casey Fowler Finn was a professor at St. Louis University who spent her days recording insects that sang through the plants around them.
When we think of insects singing, we think of these crickets and cicadas and katydids that we hear during the summer. And it turns out that that is less than 10% of what insects are singing to one another. The other 90-some percent, insects are singing using plant stems instead of the air to talk to one another. These songs that you can't hear with the naked ear.
Together, they spent time in the Appalachian Mountains, recording the calls of tree hoppers, the footsteps of caterpillars, the sounds of stink bugs and ants, vibrations that play an essential role in the survival of bugs and spiders.
They need to find a mate. They also need to ward off predators. So there are some insects that make vibrations in order to scare off predators or let them know that they're noxious. There are calls that babies make to their moms and moms make to their babies in order to keep them safe. So there are tree hoppers in which the babies will let mom know that there's a predator nearby by vibrating on the stem. And there are tree hoppers in which mom makes calls to keep her babies quiet when the mom senses a disturbance.
There was a mother tree hopper, and she put out this really angry call, and we could see that there's all these little like babies or teenage tree hoppers, and so she was putting out an alert, probably telling her young ones to watch out, or you know, maybe telling us to go away.
And I've just been blown away by how many different sounds there are. Every time we go out into the field, we hear a new insect singing, and it just makes me super excited to continue researching vibrational signaling in insects, and just makes me realize how little we know about the natural world.
We've been in the field, and she'll put the accelerometer onto a stem and we'll start to hear a sound, and she'll say, you know, we may be the very first people to ever hear that sound. She'll say, I don't know what that is, and I don't know of anybody studying that sound. And then she'll push through and try to figure out if she can see some insect, and could be that little black one with the red stripe, or way further down there could be some little green thing. And if she can get her camera close enough, she'll take a snapshot, partly for her own knowledge and then also to see, is anybody else studying this?
In the course of her work, Fowler Finn made a discovery that worried her. Male songs and female responses vary according to temperature. If males and females adjust their patterns based on climate change, there could be what Fowler Finn calls a signal-to-preference mismatch, a breakdown in communication between male and female insects. So far, she says that hasn't happened with the insects she studied.
We think that these insects are still going to be able to find one another based on these songs.
That's good news for the global food chain.
Insects are keystone species in our ecosystems. So if we start losing insects, then our birds don't have anything to eat. If we start losing insects, we lose pollination services. We lose kind of these key players that help keep ecosystems stable.
Vitello and Fowler Finn shared their findings through an unusual show that features photographs, scientific information, and a 9-minute song Vitello composed using the insect songs. At a gallery in Richmond, Virginia, the two spoke and won rave reviews.
The lecture we did was packed and people all the way out to the door, which was thrilling. I mean, a lot of people, what they say is, wow, I've never heard these sounds before. What totally shocked me was a review we got in the local paper, as well as feedback I got from friends. They said that the sound piece was beautiful. And I truly had thought of anything I've ever done in my 30 some odd years of doing this, this is probably not the piece people will call beautiful. They might say that it's strange, they might say it's intriguing. The pleasure is to find people it connects to. I tend to forget, because I've now worked with these sounds so much, how surprising these sounds can be the first time you hear them.
He also marvels at how much a scientist and an artist can have in common, sharing passions for things it's hard to explain to friends and family.
As an artist, I'm particularly interested in sound. I'm particularly interested in site-specific projects. I'm interested in the vibration coming off of the walls of buildings. And, you know, that's a pretty odd little niche. Every time I meet a biologist, they have their own specialty. They're studying the calls of treehoppers or the reproductive organs of dragonflies. And similarly, like artists, we have this thing that is hard to explain to our families or our friends when we're outside of our immediate professional community, because it's just, you spend all your time on what?
The two plan to continue recording and showing their work with a $600,000 grant from the National Science Foundation. For DW, I'm Sandy Houseman.
DW.